Are you listening to me on a radio? Any of you? Is anybody out there listening to me on a radio? That's not such a funny remark, actually, when you stop it. Is a transistor radio a radio? Technically, I suppose it is. You know, I can tell you technically, yes, it is, actually. But are you aware that the transistor radio is a far cry from what the radio once was? And the reason I'm bringing this up is because it occurred to me how little actual curiosity people today have about the things that surround them. I guess we're surrounded by so many things we're numbed, literally numbed. And I was in a cab the other day, and I started to ask the cab driver about the car. Now remember, this clown is driving a machine all day long. It's his profession. He's driving it 12 hours a day, we'll say 6 days a week. And I asked him something about the cab, and he got irritated. He said, how should I know? I said, well, how long have you been driving this cab? A couple of years. I said, a couple of years and you don't know anything about it? Nah, I don't care. Crying out loud, I don't give a damn. Well, now this is a typical attitude. Nobody cares about the things. And I'm curious about how mysterious the radio is that people live with. Do you have any idea how it is you can hear me and I'm sitting here on 1440 Broadway and you're out in Trenton and you got this crummy little $6 thing with Japanese batteries in it? How is it you can hear me? Well, you see, the point I'm making here is you take it completely for granted that you turn it on and it works. That's all in the end of it. You don't think anything about it. Well, it wasn't always this way. And I can tell you how I know. I can walk into a room. The minute I walk into a room, Ed, and I see radio equipment, there's something warms the cockles down around somewhere. Because when I was a kid, my old man was literally out of his skull about radios. Now, I have to tell you, and I have to jump ahead and backward and sideways, that the radio was much more than a thing that you heard things on in those days. It was like a central thing in the house. You know what I mean? It was a thing. And there were, are you aware that there were prestige radios just as there are today prestige cars? Now, a guy will buy a Cadillac. Well, it won't get him any further or faster, really, than most other cars. But it's a prestige car. You know what the term means. He buys it because it is a Cadillac. They claim that most Cadillac buyers will not buy Cadillacs if you take the label off. In fact, that's one of the reasons why now they put Cadillac on the trunk and they put it on the thing on the back and on the side and a little flag on the thing. Because most, in the end, it'll wind up, I'm sure, where the guy will just buy the labels. Forget the car because you got to spend money, you know, parking it and all that stuff and shining and everything else. Much more fun to have $12,000 worth of labels. But nevertheless, radios were prestige. And my old man got this thing in his head when I'm a kid. And, you know, it's funny how kids will react to something. They will hear something said continually around the house, and it begins to be part of your life. My father had an overwhelming, a completely all-engulfing ambition to own a radio named the E.H. Scott. Have any of you heard of the E.H. Scott? Not the H.H. Scott, which is a hi-fi concern of today, but the E.H. Scott. I will award the brass figlegee with bronze oak leaf palm if you can tell me the name of the radio that the E.H. Scott made. And where was it made? The E.H. Scott, at one point, was the Ferrari, it was the Jaguar, it was the Rolls-Royce of radios. And my father got this thing in his head, right in the middle of in the wildest part of the Depression, that what he wanted was an E.H. Scott radio. Now, many people who are on their uppers, why? You say, well, my old man got this thing. He wanted an E.H. Scott radio. Well, now, the E.H. Scott radio was legendary. Let me tell you about the E.H. Scott radio. It was the thing it was famous for, among other things, was that every component was made by this company, that the power transformer was chrome-plated. He wanted to get the literature. Well, they did not send him an ad. What they sent was a big technical manual where it described it has a 1.2 microvolt sensitivity. The IF coils are tuned at 465 kilocycles. And then they went into the long discussion of how a cycle is, how it's measured, and the kilocycles are measured, how the microfarads are measured, how they measure the capacitance and the resistance of an RF choke, and the whole business, you know, it goes down and down, the inductance and everything is all there. And my old man is reading this. It's like some nut today who is a car nut will read every last bit of technical information he can get, let's say, on the Jaguar. All the charts and the graphs. And this is what my old man was doing so we could hear Vic and Sade. Well, here was this radio, and he just kept talking about the radio. He was going to get the E.H. Scott radio. Well, it became almost like the white whale in our house. Every night, the old man would sit down, and he would take out all his catalogs. It's like a sports car nut or a fishing nut. He'd get out all his catalogs and read about the E.H. Scott radio. And then he would get things called radiocraft, and there would be a big double-page spread on the E.H. Scott. And the old man would say, oh, boy, this Scott. And of course, my mother knows it's coming. She knows that we're going to be in hock again. We never once paid completely for a car all the time I was a kid. But nevertheless, the old man got this thing about the E.H. Scott. Well, the big day finally arrived when we were going to go to the showroom to look at the E.H. Scott, which was at the place where they built them. Oh, yes. Really, this was an important proposition. They were fantastically expensive. It was like, well, it really was. It was like the equivalent of a Bentley or a Ferrari. If other radios cost $250, we'll say this one cost $800, that kind of a thing. It was a giant, an enormous expenditure. So we went down to the showroom, Ed. And going into the showroom was almost like the equivalent of being shown into the grand ballroom at Buckingham Palace, where they were displaying the new Phantom 6 Rolls Royce. And the Queen was there to show you how the transmission worked. You know, with the trumpets blowing, and they had the gold lamé curtains hanging, and there were salesmen walking around with cutaway coats, with big carnations. I remember, I've never been in anything like this when I'm a kid. I'm about 6 years old. And they had the radios all lined up around it. They had the cathedral model, the big DX Super 10. They had over here, they had the Gothic model. Oh, by the way, that's another thing. Radios had entered the realm at that point of the classic architectural world. Radios were no longer just furniture. They were cathedrals. Yes. Oh, yes. You could get a Gothic radio, tremendous Gothic spires. If you wanted, you could get a Renaissance model, great carved Botticelli legs with angels and everything flying all over it. And if you wanted to, you could even get a pagan one. You could go all the way back to the pre-Roman days. You could get one, you know, with cornucopias pouring and Pan flying off the top of the thing, you know, with devils and the whole bit. You really could. There were religious connotations to these things. Just as you can buy a Chinese modern TV set today, but they really went all out. So here was this panoply of radios, and the old man got hooked on a Gothic highboy. That was the you bought the cabinet separate from the radio. Now, how do you like that? Just like you do it in the Rolls-Royce world. You bought a chassis. You bought a chassis. They called it buying the chassis. And you buy this chassis. See, it's like buying the chassis of the Rolls and then the Tickford bodyworks will see to it that your coachwork is done properly. If you like the Corvan leather, of course, the Wembley Twombly works would be pleased to handle your coachwork. And that's a very separate thing. You buy the car in one department, you go over, and standing up by the door is this very distinguished-looking man who really is a blood relative of Jacques Fath, Balenciaga. He is a great designer, and he sells cars. He does not sell automobiles. He sells coaches. Well, so it was with the radio. You'd buy the radio, and there's these engineering types that are explaining the microfarads, and they were, you know, and it was funny. They would, now that I think back on it, what hokum? They would explain basic electrical theory to the guy as though E.H. Scott had discovered it. They would say, of course you realize that our RF chokes, these are radio frequency chokes, which are very specially wound with special Litz wire. These are wound. Of course, little did we realize that every $2 radio is wound the same way. These are wound with Litz wire, and they are especially measured in microfarads. Now, the farad, of course, he's neatly transposed. He's confusing inductance with capacitance, but my old man only knew that it was a great radio, so it didn't matter. It's like the average sports guy completely confuses, doesn't make any difference. Use the right term, see? So they're going on, finally the old man says, well, we're going to do it. I don't care, we're going to do it. And so he pops for this DX-10, gigantic, beautiful, lovely, chrome chassis, big baby like that, the E.H. Scott. And then we went into negotiations for they don't call it the cabinet. Oh, no. You buy cabinetry. And so we went into the department where the cabinetry was sold. And when I think of our blue and yellow linoleum, ay, ay, ay. And when I think of our chrome end table, and when I think of our Chinese modern card table, and all the while, in the middle of it, sat this fantastic, unbelievable, beautifully hand-carved walnut Gothic highboy. I mean, it was Gothic, literally Gothic. I mean, in the traditional sense, the doors rumbled back like the windows, like the great curtains at the Roxy. You know, the doors would rumble back, and there would be that beautiful escutcheon of the E.H. Scott. See, my old man would grab the. They had bronze knobs that looked like the front from a truly a Gothic cathedral. A genuine Gothic. He'd go, and they'd rumble back. And it had a drawer that weighed 45 pounds if it weighed an ounce. Each leg on that thing weighed 27 pounds. Pure Gothic all the way and solid walnut all the way through. Well, the radio was mounted and three technicians came out. They set this son of a gun. And I will never forget the first day we're all sitting around listening to the Vic and say, well, it was kind of disappointing. I can only say this because, you see, it didn't. Vic and say were no funnier on the E.H. Scott than they had been on the Crosley, except that they were like $400 more expensive per ounce. Well, so my old man says, wait till we get, now I'm going to get some music on it now. And so he turns over to the music. It sounded exactly like the Crosley. And everybody kept saying, isn't that beautiful? Oh, yeah, that's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. And we just kept saying, isn't that lovely? Isn't that beautiful? And, of course, nobody wants to say the truth. It's no different from the Crosley. The old man's eyes were shining like two blue marbles. He's hanging on to those knobs, and he's turning the gain up. And what was even more depressing, when he would turn the gain all the way up, it developed the same speaker cone rattle that the Crosley had done, except that the old man, you know what the old man, he translated immediately into other terms. He would say, listen to that power. So powerful you can't even listen to it. It's going. Then he turns it down. Pom, pom, pom. Well, from that day on, I don't think our radio ever played. I can remember us sitting in the living room. That radio never played less than 18,000 decibels above the sound of the streetcars going past the house. And the old man's got it turned up all the way. He says, hey, when are we going to have supper, huh? And I'm over in the corner, I'm talking to my kid brother, hey, let's go out and play ball. And once in a while, somebody would throw rocks at the window. But the old man, you see, he had his E.H. Scott, which made it, he didn't care anymore, you know? It didn't matter. And that Scott used to sit there, and even when that radio wasn't playing, when it had busted a 27, it had 27s, UV-27s, UV-24s, he'd sit there in front of it and just sit. And he'd pull back those big curtains. And out it would come, out of that rattly Jensen speaker. Slam the door, clunk. Oh, my God, that's the way to live. E.H. Scott, and that power transformer is chrome-plated. Look at that.